The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salamu alaikum, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you very much for joining us on IRIB English Radio and this episode of today's special. We're speaking about poverty in Islam. Today's Today, Thursday, is the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of May, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Baqarah, verse 276.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. Yamhaqu Allahu ar-riba wa yurbi as-sadaqat. Wallahu la yuhibbu kulla kaffarin athim.
Allah destroys interest and gives increase for charities, and Allah does not like every sinning disbeliever.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse admonishes that though a usurer takes interest from others in order to compile wealth, Allah seizes the abundance and good results that He expects from the grass of wealth gained through usury. The property resulted from usury may not necessarily be obliterated itself, but the goals which are considered from compiling wealth fail. In the course of usury, there is no love, happiness, or security, so that many a rich person can gain no sort of comfort, peace, or amiability from their wealth. On the contrary, in the regulations where there is charity or donation and good loan, people enjoy of many favors.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
We're speaking about poverty in the view of Islam. The reason and causes of poverty are various. Poverty might be a pure test from Allah, and it might be a punishment for some sins, and it could result due to unemployment. It might also be due to a given group of people looting or exerting a monopoly on the money, public treasury, and preventing others from it. There are many other reasons. Poverty has had consequences. It could lead to many bad social and moral circumstances, like the spread of insecurity, crisis, theft, armed robbery, kidnapping, ethnic crisis, bribery, and corruption, and so forth. The poor hating the rich is yet another consequence of poverty.
شيخ روحاني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear and respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Poverty is one of the very significant and at the same time challenging subject and topic that can be discussed from different perspectives. First, we should teach our people how to tolerate problems, challenges, difficulties, hardships, so that they become able to solve their problems, to get a better life in terms of economy and in terms of spirituality and religious kind of teachings and doctrines as well. So this is the first step. I think from the perspective of Islam, this is a very important lesson that we must take from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Secondly, once you become strong enough to tolerate hardships and challenges and difficulties in your life, then of course you can go forward and you can step forward to solve your problems and to achieve a better life, to identify better chances, better situations, to pursue a better kind of models and ways and solutions in your life. This is what we see practically in the history of Islam. While in those beginning days of Islam, the Prophet and the companions of the Prophet, they were the poorest people in Mecca. Because the people like Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan was a very rich person. And he had lots of camels, lots of properties, facilities. Not only Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and the other tribal figures, they were rich enough to do whatever they wanted to do with the Prophet and with the companions. But because of this strengthness of Prophet and the companions, spiritually and mentally, these companions were able to face these problems and finally to conquer, to succeed. This is what we should take from the Prophet's life and from the companions' life.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain.
From among the means prescribed by Islam to solve poverty is this prohibition on riba, usury, gambling, and deceit in selling. Allah says, of course, the interpretation of the meaning is, O you who believe, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba from now onward, if you are really believers. It was narrated that the Messenger of Allah passed by a pile of foodstuff. He put his hand in it and found that it had gotten wet. He said, What is this, O seller of the foodstuff? He said, It got rained on, O the Messenger of Allah. He said, Why don't you put it on top of the food so that the people can see it? Whoever deceives people does not belong to me. That is because if these things are done and become widespread among people, it means that some are taking people's wealth unlawfully and people may lose all their wealth because of them. Hence, the text clearly forbids them.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. Without you, you're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all that I believe.
And now we go for tips of our infallible imams for helping the poor and needy. One of them is establishing a zakat committee. How can Muslims pay their zakat in their local communities to benefit the poor and needy if there is no structure to distribute the contribution to those who need it? Establish a zakat committee at your mosque, masjid, or Islamic Center, which will take care of collecting and distributing zakat. Don't forget to be careful in distributing the zakat. Make sure you are not giving only to those people you know personally who are in need, or even worse, only those people who are part of your ethnic group. Remember that there are those who are the poor and needy from all backgrounds, and they have a right to zakat money too. There are also those who don't make their neediness and poverty obvious, so they need to be discreetly sought out and given zakat money.
Allah says, oh, you people, every one of you, every single one of you has been created by me, are indeed poor. And I am the wealthy. That is why Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says to Jabir in one of his admonishments to him, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, to Imam Hassan, he says, show your independence to what people have and own. Meaning, show your sovereignty to them. When you deal with people, show them you don't need them. Don't act in a way where it shows people that this guy needs me. This guy needs my money. This guy needs my wealth. This guy is in need of my position. No, deal with them. Whoever there may be, in a state of sovereignty and independence. Listen, I don't need you. I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a funny story, Buhlul once went to one of the khulafa. And he said to him, he actually has two beautiful stories. I'm going to share them both. So Buhlul was sitting in front of the palace of the king, or the khalifa, the so-called khalifa. And he says, Allahumma rizqni min rizqika al-halal. Oh Allah, give me. A poet came and he says to him, Buhlul, you're sitting right in front of this king's palace. Go in and ask him. He'll give you. So he says, Buhlul says to the poet, why are you here? He says, because I have prepared a poem for the king. I'm going to read it to him and he's going to give me. So Buhlul says, okay, why don't you do that? I'm going to be here waiting for Allah to give me. So the poet went and he had prepared a beautiful poem. He read it for the king. The king did something really weird. He gave the poet a chicken, a barbecue chicken. So the poet, he couldn't tell the king, you know, why did you give me a barbecue chicken? What am I going to do with this? I came for money. Because you would have gotten killed. So he took the chicken. He came out and he said, Buhlul, you're so lucky. I don't need the barbecue chicken. You can have this. So Buhlul began to eat the chicken. And apparently this king liked surprises. So he had stuffed the chicken with golden coins. So Buhlul ate the chicken and took the golden coins.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll learn about Islamic views on poverty more on the next episode of today's special, tomorrow, inshallah. Thank you for joining us. We leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody. Today, on the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, the first day of the start of the mission of the Lord of the Age, the Prophet's 12th and last infallible successor, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, following the martyrdom of his father, Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him, the day before, here is a saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, regarding the awaited savior of mankind, who is presently in occultation by the will of God, and will reappear in the end times to establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. The earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. And it is because of him that the proofs and signs of Allah are not wasted.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the benefits of brushing one's teeth. You know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam would brush his teeth. This was one of the prophetic etiquettes and Sunan, and there's a lot of hadiths regarding it. There's a famous hadith which says that the Prophet mentioned that if it were not for the fact that it would inconvenience my community, lawla an ashukka ala ummati, he says that I would have commanded them to brush their teeth before every prayer, every ritual prayer, ma'a kulli salatin. Right, so this is very highly recommended. And in this beautiful hadith of Imam Sadiq, the Imam alludes to a lot of the virtues and benefits of brushing one's teeth. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said there are 12 distinctive features to brushing one's teeth. It is a recommended prophetic practice. It's one of the sunan, it's one of the prophetic practices. Secondly, it purifies one's mouth. It cleans the mouth, it purifies the mouth. Third, it brightens one's eyesight. Maybe this is something that a lot of people don't realize. Fourth, it pleases the beneficent Lord. Allah is pleased with this sunnah, this action. Fifth, it widens the teeth. It widens the teeth. Sixth, it does away with wretchedness. It does away with wretchedness. Sixth, it strengthens one's gums. Strengthens one's gums. Next, it whets one's appetite for food. Then it takes away the phlegm in the body, which is harmful for the body, it takes it away. And this is interesting, the Imam says that it improves one's memory. وَيَزِيدُ فِي الْحِفْظِ. Right, brushing one's teeth, if one has bad memory, one of the things that can help us our memory increase is the brushing of the teeth. And then the Imam said that it multiplies one's rewards for good deeds. You know, if we do a good deed, if we brush our teeth before it or after it or during that time, you know, the rewards that we get from that act, like for example the salat, right, the rewards increase, they multiply. Finally, the Imam says that brushing the teeth gives pleasure to the angels. The angels become happy with this person. And in another tradition, Imam, you know, these benefits are not the only benefits of brushing one's teeth. These are mentioned as examples. Because we have another hadith from Imam Sadiq, in which the Imam says that you must brush your teeth for it removes the temptations of your heart. Right? And, you know, Imam Ridha also said, brushing one's teeth brightens the eyesight, increases hair growth, and removes the tendency for frequent weeping. Perhaps indication of the fact that brushing one's teeth keeps one's happy, gets rid of depression. Right? Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the etiquettes and virtues and benefits of brushing one's teeth in the words of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. And alhamdulillah again, Brother Ali Nasir has joined us, and also Fawad Haider. Welcome, And salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Are you fine, inshallah, Fawad?
Yes.
Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for joining us today. In this session, inshallah, we'll be again working on one of the verses of the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Baqarah. In the previous session, we worked on Ayah 23 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, in this session, Ayah 24. In the previous session, we worked on Ayah 24 of Surah Al-Baqarah. In this session, inshallah, Ayah 25 or 25th of Surah Al-Baqarah will be our main topic. Okay? We'll be talking about this ayah and also explain the Tajweed rules. So, Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider, I really want to listen to this ayah. Do you want?
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون.
Great. Now, Ali Nasir and Fawad, I will be, inshallah, reciting. Repeat after me, okay? Listen and repeat.
Okay.
In this ayah, inshallah, Allah Almighty will be talking about you, okay? وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, okay? The believers. Good news Allah Almighty is going to give you. So, let's learn this.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات
وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات
وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار
وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار
كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا
كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا
أحسن
قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل
قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل
وأتوا به متشابها
وأتوا به متشابها
ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة
ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة
وهم فيها خالدون
وهم فيها خالدون
أحسنت ماشاءالله. In this ayah, now Allah Almighty is gonna give you a good news. So in ayah 21, Allah Almighty said that يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ Worship your Lord. Okay? And also Allah Almighty explained about Himself, the attributes of Himself. Okay, He's the Lord. He blesses you, showers His blessings, okay, with, for example, water from the sky. He brings out like crops for you, okay? Like these things. And you have to be very much careful, okay? And listen to this nice ayah.
that Allah Almighty says, وبشر المؤمنين. Oh, for what hater listen. Ali Nasir listen. وبشر المؤمنين. What does Allah Almighty says? Allah Almighty says to the Prophet, okay, that, oh Prophet, and give good news to those who have faith and do righteous deeds. Okay, those who believe in Allah Almighty, those who believe in the Prophet, those who believe in the miraculous aspect of Quran Kareem, that Quran Kareem is a miracle and this is the book of guidance. Those who believe in the Day of Judgment, oh Prophet, give them this good news. Give Fawad this good news. Give Ali Nasir this good news, okay? That what? What is going to happen? Do you know what is going to happen? أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّات. That for them will be the heaven, the paradise. Okay, the heavens, the gardens in the heavens. Okay, so what? أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّات. Okay, Al-Nasir, that the heavens, the gardens of the paradise will be for them. Okay. Yes. And what does Allah Almighty say next? With jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Okay? With streams running in them. Do you know streams? Water stream. We might have just seen, Fawad Haider, you might have just seen a water stream, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Waterfall?
Yeah, waterfall or water streams. Only you might have seen this. Have you ever seen like milk waterfalls, milk falls or milk streams?
No.
Or honey streams? No, you've not. You've never seen, yes?
No, no.
Or for example, juice stream. Have you ever seen?
No.
Free juice, free milk, free honey. But Allah Almighty is giving you in the heavens this. Inshallah. And the next verses of the Quran, I forgot the surah. But we have this ayah, okay? That وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. And in the heaven will be anhar, streams. Anhar means uncountable streams. Of what? Min laban. Laban means milk. Streams of milk. Milk streams. لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. The milk, okay, that will never, the flavor, okay, the flavor, the taste of the milk will never be changed. Nowadays, okay, if you buy, it's just a kilo of milk, okay, if you do not put it in the refrigerator, okay, it will be, the flavor will be changed, okay? Yes. And you cannot drink it anymore.
Expired.
Yeah. And you must spend a lot of money to buy just some milk, a kilo, okay? Nowadays, it's so kind of expensive. But in the heavens, inshallah, you don't need to pay anything for milk. Inshallah. Just drink it.
Inshallah.
Okay, as much as you can. It's free. Streams of milk. So, تجري من تحت الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها. Then, inshallah, you will be blessed with many kind of eatings, meals, whatever you want. وهم فيها خالدون. And you will stay there forever. Forever, okay? Alright?
Yes, inshallah.
Okay, nice ayah. Ali Nasir liked this ayah a lot, especially the ending part.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقك هذا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So, now let's continue with the tajweed rules, okay? وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. There is no new point. وعملوا الصالحات. Saw, the pronunciation of the letter saw. صالحات, heavy, and then light letter. أن إدغام. لهم جنات. جنات, again, إدغام. جنات تجري. تنوين كسرة. دنتا. إخفاء, right?
Yes.
أن لهم جنات تجري. تجري. جيم. The sound will be bounced. So, فوات. The next one. من تحتي. من. نون ساكن. تا. What is it? إخفاء again. تحتها الأنهار. تحتها الأنهار. Look, ألف مد plus همزة الوصل. ألف مد will be changed to short vowel. تحتها الأنهار. كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة. No new point. Only here. رزقا. There is a sign of stopping, but it tells you that you don't have to stop because it's la. In la, you don't have to stop. So go to the next word like this.
It's wajib to stop?
You don't have to stop.
It's wajib.
Saying you don't have to stop. No, you don't have to stop. La means no. Don't stop. Go. Okay, rizqan qalu. At least you have to go rizqan qalu. You can stop there. Then, again, start with from qalu. Qalu hadha alladhi
rizqan. It's wajib not to stop.
Or we,
it is wajib not to stop.
Or we cannot stop. We can continue.
You have to continue. You don't have to stop there. Uh-huh. I mean, at that word, you should not stop. Uh-huh. If you stop at the previous word, it's okay. The next word, it's okay. But at that word, do not stop. So, وَأُوتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Thank you so much. There is no other new point, okay, about that, because all of them we have worked on in the previous sessions as well. So, thank you so much. That was all about Ayah 25 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, in the next sessions, we'll be working on the rest of the verses. Thank you so much for joining us today. Alhamdulillah, we finished this Ayah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Stay with us, inshallah. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi at-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان.
Faqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Ibn
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Ranjbar. Stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hiç kimse hazır nesir navdan bere. Çera çun şallaki.
Logically speaking, no one stands under a drain pipe because the water pouring from it is hard and quick. However, most people like to walk under the rain, especially when it is slow and soft. People are also like this. Some of them are like the water of the drain drop. They act and behave harshly, like a whip or hammer. Usually, people don't like such behaviors. Even their family members, friends, and colleagues keep away from them.
ولی اگر بارانوار بودی یعنی حرف که میزدی آرام بود آهسته بود.
However, if we act like a slow and soft rain and we speak to others slowly and softly, others will be attracted to us too. They will enjoy accompanying us. One good example is Hafez, the outstanding Persian poet. His poems are like soft rain. His tone of speech is slow and soft, and not like a hammer. Even his pieces of advice are beautiful to listen to. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Ranjbar. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher, an introduction to the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, scholars, and ulama all across the world of Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion to discuss the life and works of Sheikh Shafa Shushtari and his magnum opus, Al-Khasais Al-Husayniya, are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani. Dr. Fakhrouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum and thank you.
And Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmat.
As I said, today we want to talk about Sheikh Jafar Shushtari and his outstanding work, Al-Khasais Al-Husayniya. Before getting to this book, Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with a brief biography of Sheikh Jafar Shushtari.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we are approaching the days of sorrow of the martyrdom of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, so I would like to express my condolences on this occasion to our listeners and our audience. Sheikh Jafar Shushtari, as you mentioned, is one of the great scholars whose name is associated with one of the influential and outstanding books regarding Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is called Al-Khasa'is al-Husayniya, and inshallah we will talk about it. But this great alim and a scholar, I mean Sheikh Jafar Shushtari, is born in 1230 according to lunar calendar in the city of Shushtar. Yes. Almost southwest of Iran.
That's right.
This city is known with the name of our famous scholar, Sheikh Murtaza Ansari. Yes. That, alhamdulillah, we see in the biography of Sheikh Jafar, he benefited from Sheikh Murtaza Ansari when he was in Najaf. But as it is mentioned in his biography, while he was in Shushtar, he started his scholarly life starting from the Muqaddamat and at the beyond, these preliminary things that must be taken for all those students who are entering the Hawza or seminary. So when he was done with these preliminary things, he left Shushtar to Najaf with his father and almost 25 years stayed there and benefited from the great ulama, namely Sheikh Murtaza Ansari, Sheikh Al-A'azam, Sahib Al-Fusul, Sharif Al-Ulama Mazandarani, and then he came back to Iran.
That's all right. Thank you much, Sheikh Mahdavi. Okay, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, let's get now to the other aspect of the scholar life of Sheikh Jafar Shushtari. He compiled so many outstanding works, but Al-Khasais Al-Husayniya becomes his magnum opus up to an extent that his name, I mean Sheikh Jafar Shushtari's name, is coinciding with Al-Khasais Al-Husayniya. And it seems that there is a story, or let's say, we can say background of how this work was compiled. What is the story?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. As-Salamu alayki wa abdullah. As-Salamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the beginning, it must be indicated that in the past, when scholars focused on the life and times and the main events in the life of an infallible imam or an infallible dignitary, they mainly focused on the project for the sake of the religiosity and the kind of piety available in such work. In contrast to our present-day situation, when a great majority of people may want to focus on such projects for a kind of worldly benefit.
Yes.
And this is a
or
great
for
distinction.
Fame. For fame,
yes, or making a name. In this regard, it must be indicated that the late Sheikh Jafar Shushtari has been exceptional in this regard. Another aspect is that, according to an anecdote, repeated here and there. And the original version was told by himself, that is by the late Ayatollah Sheikh Jafar Shushtari. We find that, he wanted to develop a book on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, but, one evening he dreamt, the scene of the Karbala and the Eve of Ashura.
Yes.
And in the dream, he was a guest of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and some of the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And in his dream, he received a special kind of sweet from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, prepared at the instance and order of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And he tasted just a little bit of that sweet, and he got up, in full surprise. He noticed that he has already received the full inspiration to develop such a book, and he devoted himself to this line of scholarship.
And of course, they say that Sheikh Jafar Shushtari was a really high-status scholar.
Yes.
But the only weak point that he had in life was his addresses on the minbar.
Yes.
He was not that much powerful.
Yes.
That was for the visitation to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He asked him that, O Imam al-Hussein, O Allah, give me this power of speech so that I can present good sermons for you on the minbar.
Yes.
And after this dream and after we can see compiling such a work, we can see he got this power up to an extent that the addresses on his minbar were so many.
Yes.
And the most influential sermons and the rosas and the, we can say, speeches were given by Sheikh Jafar Shushtari for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This was really a blessing and the mercy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on this.
Yes, and I heard it also from, a person who was a resident in Tehran, and he related it to me that in his youth, according to some sources, either this person himself or his father noticed that when the late Sheikh Jafar Shushtari was invited to Tehran in the Qajar period in order to deliver some sermons, thousands of people, Tehran before almost 100 years ago.
In Palmenar Mosque, they say.
And they gathered together over there in order to hear him on delivering, hot speeches.
Yes.
And, such people, when they are very influential and successful, it must be indicated that it isn't all due to their own individual efforts, rather they must have received another impetus and another energy from somewhere else.
Up to an extent that the first day sermon and the member was cancelled.
Yes.
Because the Sheikh couldn't find a way through the population into the member. Say it was so much crowded that the program was cancelled. And for the second day, Sheikh Jafar could go on the member. And this is really great. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, maybe some of our dear listeners and most of them do not have much information in English language about Al-Khasais Al-Husayniyah, this outstanding work, which is, we can say, the production of a blessing, of a mercy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to the author himself. What is this book exactly, and what is the main content of this book?
Okay, as the title of the book suggests, I think that is a good picture for our audience if they only pay attention to the translation of the title of the book, which says Al-Khasais Al-Husayni. Al-Khasais is a plural form for khasisa, meaning characteristic or feature. So the plural form features or characteristics